Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Been talking about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and the fruit of the Spirit comes out of the unconditional love of God. And you see, that's what we were originally created for. That's what Adam and Eve were. They were in the unconditional love of God. Until sin came in, until they disobeyed God and ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit, right? And fell in sin. And then we all fell in sin. And so we fell out of the unconditional love of God that we can express. God never stopped loving us, but we now have this separation between us and God because of sin. And that's why we need to be born again spiritually. When you're born again, you're born back into God's family. And now you can express the unconditional love of God. So that's what we're supposed to be walking in as children of God, is the unconditional love of God. And this fruit here is what, it's not fruits, plural, it's fruit. And they all are fruit of the unconditional love of God, the Holy Spirit. All right? So now we've been looking at kindness, and we talked about kindness last week, and kindness is really an expression of God's unconditional love. And so kindness, really, in the Bible, what the Bible teaches is when you're kind to people, you're supposed to be kind to people who don't deserve it. So when someone's nice to you and you're kind to them, that's not God's kindness. God's kindness is when they're being a rascal and you are still kind to them. That's God's kindness. God wants to show others His love and His kindness through you and me. You see that? And that's like, say, the person at work that gets on your last one. That person you're supposed to be expressing kindness to. You're supposed to show them kindness. Now think about this. I told him last week, when we're in God's kindness, that is His love language. You know, Gary Chapman wrote that book, The Five Love Languages. And one of them, one of the love languages is words of affirmation. We're supposed to speak words of affirmation even to our enemies. Did you hear me? Even to our enemy. So look, when people are against you, but you're speaking healthy words over them, that's God loving them through you. You see that? And you're showing them how God is. That's why you exist. We are here to show people how God is. Because God is kind towards you. You express that towards them. You only can do that when you're connected to God. If not, you'll want to retaliate and get them told and give them what for. Maybe a little extra out the back door. Who knows? But here's what I'm trying to help you see. When you express kindness, you're like God, and you're demonstrating Him. This is the call of God on our life, and we're expressing the fruit. We want to do this with our husbands. We want to do this with our wives, with our children. We want to be kind. We want them to be kind. When they're having a rough patch and they're on the struggle bus, you give them kindness. Show them kindness. One of the greatest things you can do to your children is express kindness. When they see kindness in their parents, and their parents aren't full of strife and contention, you're demonstrating Christ to them. Your marriage is supposed to be an expression of Christ and the church. You're supposed to show them how to act, how to live, how to treat each other as parents. all the time. And when you do that, those children receive it. They'll want to come to church. They'll want to come and watch people get baptized. They will want to be in church. They will want to follow your Jesus. But if you're always in strife and screaming and negative, they don't want that. And they'll get to a place where you can't drag them to church. And that's why you got a lot of young people that don't want anything to do with church. Because they've never seen kindness. They've never seen people love people that are hard to love. There's some people that are hard to love. Anybody ever have any of those? This is what God's doing in his people. Making sense? So today, we're going to talk about the goodness of God. And let's go to our vision and our scripture. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I'm telling you, you know, there's a revival going on in Asbury, in Moorhead, Kentucky. I'm sorry, Wilmore. But here, think about this. I'm going to tell you something. Goodness and kindness has started this. When we function together with goodness, there's going to be revival. Are you listening to me? People will flock to the presence of God. You see, that's what you're in. You're in his presence when you are expressing kindness and goodness in this world. And it comes out of gratitude. Comes out of being grateful. You're going to hear this. This is good stuff. I'm telling you. And we can all do it. We're all designed for it. It's God's divine design. Now look, this word goodness in our foundational verse, scripture, is the word agathosune. It comes from the word agathos, meaning good. But when agathos becomes the word agathosune, it means goodness in the sense of being good to other people. Good to other people. And this is what we want to be. We want to be good to other people. It portrays a person who is generous, big-hearted, a giver, and kind. Kind, same kindness we've been talking about. To people who don't deserve it. Good. Goodness. Give me Acts 10:38 real quick there, Tim. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus was anointed. When you become a born-again child of God, you are anointed. You're anointed. Did you hear me? That's what the Bible teaches. Anointing is God's presence and the Holy Spirit on you. Jesus said in Luke 4 and in Isaiah 60, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You see, every one of us has been planted here on earth. And wherever we're planted, people are supposed to come and eat fruit from your tree. You see, you're supposed to be producing fruit that encourages them, that nourishes them, that calls them to be all that God created them to be. Am I making sense? That's really how it is. And when we understand that, we're going to change our behavior in the way we see people. Jesus went about doing good. Now look at this. Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. Now, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Now listen, you see, it says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of Man came, that he would destroy the works of the devil. We're following Jesus. We're supposed to destroy the works of the devil. You know how you do that? by doing goodness. You're supposed to destroy the works of the devil. You can destroy the works of the devil in other people's lives by being good to them. Am I making sense? We need to quit getting our eyes on the devil and blaming the devil for everything and start bringing some goodness. Are you with me? And good news to people. And we won't even want to talk about the devil. We'll be kicking his backside because you're anointed for that. Now think about this. The words doing good together, another Greek word, E-U-E-R-G-E-T-E-O. Here's what it means. Benefactor. Now, Ben, B-E-N-E, means good. So doing good is benefactor. Factor comes from the word factory. So when you do good, it's producing good in your life. In your life and the people you're doing the good to. There's a factory. God's the benefactor. He's up there working in the factory. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, it may not look good right now, but good's coming because it's working. He's working it in the factory. Are you listening to me? It may not smell good. It may not feel good. It may feel like hell is coming out against you, but God is the benefactor. And if you keep doing good, good is going to show up in your life and on other people's lives. Come on, am I making sense? Doing good. We're called to do good. Come on. God was interested in helping to meet the personal needs of people. You see, that's what doing good's talking about. It means benefactor. It also means philanthropy. So in other words, you are supposed to help meet the needs of people. If they got to get their rent paid, if they need a bag of groceries, if they need something. But when you do that, you position them to receive from you. You see that? And Jesus had money coming in. Judas was the one taking care of the money. And all these wealthy families were giving money to the ministry of Jesus. Jesus wasn't handling the money. Judas was. That's the one who betrayed him. But he was using the money. Jesus was using the money to help feed the poor, help people. And then he would speak to them, and healing would take place in their life, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, he first wanted to meet their physical needs, and then he could get to their supernatural needs. Are you listening to me? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Now, I really want us to capture this and what God is saying to us today. Now, think about this. Therefore, look what he says. Therefore, comfort each other. This word comfort, you know what it means? Encourage. Encourage. The Holy Spirit's called the comforter. So encourage. He encourages you if you pay attention to him. In you. He's in you if you're born again. And if you'll pay attention, he will comfort you in any situation you face. I don't care what's happened. He will comfort you and let you know everything's going to be all right. He's the comforter. It's the paraclete. Remember? Para, P-A-R-A, alongside. Kletos means helper. It means comforter, encourager. So in other words, you're supposed to be doing the work of the Holy Spirit. When you come alongside people, you're supposed to be encouraging them. You see that? You encourage them and you lift things off of people when you encourage them. You see that? You lift it off of them. You know, I had somebody tell me a couple weeks ago, they said, you know, I don't know what it is, but every time I leave from being with you, I feel better. What they're saying is, I made them feel better. But it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit comforting them. You see? And that's why they felt better when they got in their car and they felt better about, because the encouraging words lifted something off of them. You seeing this? And this is what we're supposed to be doing. Now watch. It says, comfort each other and edify one another. Edify means build up one another, just as you also are doing. The NIV version says it this way. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Give me Romans 15:4 real quick. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort, encouragement of the scriptures, might have hope. Scriptures encourage you. The Word of God encourages you. It lifts things off of you. It gives you life. It's full of power. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is alive and living. When it's spoken over you, it puts you in a healthy place with God, and it shows you a picture of what's really going on in your life. When you understand that, you'll want to get around the word of God a little bit more. You'll want to put a little bit more in you, because the word of God is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God will be complete, fully equipped, prepared for every good work. For every good work. See, that's why you're on this planet. You are here to do a good work. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He had a plan and purpose for your life before you even showed up on the planet, and he wants to show it to you. And it's all about you doing his good works here on this earth. Am I making sense today? I know I'm preaching a little bit, but I gotta do that once in a while. Now listen, that's really what it's about. You know, we ain't playing up here at Russell Road. No, we're not playing. We're here to rebuilding people, and we're gonna get this will done. Amen. And watch this. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. The word consolation means encouragement. A lot of translations use the word encouragement. He encourages us all the time. You see that? If you're not encouraged, you haven't been getting in touch with him. It's your relationship is everything. You see, this is what happens. We get these interruptions. These problems come and show up in our life. And we haven't been talking to the Lord. And he's trying to encourage you. He's trying to prepare you ahead of time. Because things are going to happen in life. We live in a broken world. And then when a disruption comes, you're like, what is this happening to me? It's not happening to you. It's come to show you something and to develop you. It's a trial to help you understand who you are and why you're here to better help someone. Am I making sense? Now, that's why a disruption, adversity, trial, you ought to see it and welcome it. That's why God says, count it all joy. Value it. Value that thing. That means you place a value on it, because it's going to produce something in you only that can produce. Because you see, we won't do it on our own. We won't just get up and do good and be everything God created us to be on our own. We need something to move us a little bit. And sometimes it's pain and hurt. Am I making sense? Now, comfort your hearts and establish you in what? Every good work. Who's supposed to do the good work? Oh, God is. God does the good work. You. We're co-laborers with God. Well, God did it all. No, God didn't do it all. You have to do your part. You see that? You have to do your part. Well, God, glory to God. It was all God. If it was all God, the whole world would get saved. You have to do your part. You see this? Think about this. Give me Stephen. Give me Michelangelo. Michelangelo. You see that? That's the original. And that was carved over 500 years ago by Michelangelo. It was a block of marble. And Michelangelo said when he saw that block of marble, he saw David. David in the Bible. He saw him in it. And he began to chisel it away with a hammer and a chisel. And that's what he came up with. You see, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to see the good in other people and begin to chisel away, not with a hammer and a chisel, but with words of affirmation, and call out what's in them so it shows up and is an expression of Christ wherever we are. Bible says in Romans 4:17 that God calls things that aren't as though they are. You see, when you speak to them, you're calling it out. See, that's what the word kleto also means. It means to call, para kleto, to call out. Para, we're to walk alongside and call it out of people. You see that? You're to call what you see, the good out of them. I'm going to tell you something. This works. And I was on the phone with my son yesterday. I called him and he answered. That's nice. You know, a lot of times you can call your kids or call somebody and they don't even answer. Right. Oh, that's who that is. It's nice when your son will grab that phone and answer. Are you with me? I like that. But you know, I noticed the more you encourage people, the more they're apt to grab that phone. If you wonder why people aren't answering, what you saying to them? You know, and we started talking, and he started talking about, you know, when he was at Ginghamsburg, and when we, you know, he was in class, and his friend Bob got saved in the Sunday school class I was teaching in. And he was so intrigued with the Bible. And I remember I would take him, Bob, out one-on-one, and the other kids in the class, and talk them about the Bible, and we'd talk. Kind of a discipleship thing. I used to tell him, you're going to be a pastor. I could see it in him. You see that? I could see it in him. And so we're talking, and he says, yeah, Bob and I, his friend Bob, you know, the one who got saved. And I used to say, he says, yeah, Bob was remodeling his kitchen and got all of his cabinets out, and we took him out to my in-laws. My son has in-laws that has this property, and we burned all these cabinets. So they burned them all sitting there watching the, you know, as the fire, and they sat out there and talked while they watched all this burn. But guess what he is today? Pastor. Do you see that? John Sokauskas. I remember meeting him at the school. Remember, Jenna? I met him down there. I said, God's hand is all over you. I said, I think you're being called to the ministry. He started coming up here. I started discipling him. You know, he was having some struggles. Going through some struggles. We all do it through struggles. I mean, 18, 19, 20 years old, you're going to go through something. And so, you know, a little bit girl problems. You know, he's a handsome young man. And so I said, man, you got to quit all this nonsense. I said, God has his hand on you. I said, you need to go to Asbury, the very school they're having this revival in. I said, you go to Asbury. And I said, I'll hire you as my youth pastor. And that's what we did. And John drove down there. Then he would come back up here and be the youth pastor. And now he's down there pastoring a church on his own. Are you with me? And I'm on his board kind of his advisory board. But you see, you call it out. Come on, am I making sense? You call it out of them. You speak it over them. Now, wait. Don't go telling everybody they're going to be a pastor. You don't want to tell. You see the good in people, and you call it out. And it will show up in their life. Now, listen to me. Please pay attention. This is so good right here. Dr. Barbara Fredrickson is an author of the book Positivity. Now listen. She says, positive emotions increase our awareness, allowing us to see the bigger picture. Now pay attention. And expand our peripheral vision. By opening up the mind, positive emotions help us strengthen our relationships and even improve our physical health because of the increase of energy it brings. When you speak words of affirmation over your children, you're helping their vision. You see that? God is all about vision. But you see, when you speak negative over them, you're closing their vision. They're blind to really what God's trying to do in their life. So you need to be speaking words of affirmation over your children. You're the parent. Parents are supposed to raise children. You know, it's not supposed to be this, you know, we're supposed to be open and transparent. I don't mean transparent. Did you get it? Parent. Kids should know when they look in the mirror what they are. Or if that doesn't work, you need to go have a blood test. If you go get a blood test, it shows up in your blood. It shows up in your blood if you're a girl or you're a boy. So when you're trying to do something you're not, you are way outside and far away from what God has put you here for. Huh? That's why the suicide rate is so high among that. That's why the suicide rate now in Montgomery County, over 60% of 7th graders to 12th are contemplating suicide. I'm going to tell you something. They don't have anyone speaking good over their life. Because when you speak good over their life in words of affirmation, it removes all that. You're not going to be depressed. Depressed means pushed down. When you speak negative over your kids and over anybody, you're pushing them down and pushing them away from the word of God. We're supposed to raise them up and build them up. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You see that? That's the way we're supposed to speak over our children, always encouraging them. Come on, am I making sense? Now, in contrast, neutral states tend to limit our mindsets. This is still Barbara Fredrickson. And negative emotions contract our mindsets even more so. They even bring us down more. The way encouraging words bring us up more, those negative words can bring them down even more. That's why you ought to treat that like cancer. How you speak to your children, how you speak to other people. But you see, when you are an encourager, that's going to protect you. That's going to protect you and your family. And you're going to bring good, and you're going to connect with God when you're an encourager. Are you catching this? Now think about this. Listen, people have a way of becoming what you encourage them to be, not what you nag them to be. When you're nagging, it's like, okay, you're pulling me down. You see that? Is this making sense? I remember a story of a little boy. He said, Daddy, he says, when we play darts tonight, when I throw my darts, he says, I want you to say, wonderful. His daddy says, all right. So every time they played darts, his daddy would say, wonderful. You're wonderful. And one day, he was sitting at the table. His mommy was fixing lunch. His mom puts his lunch down in front of him. He says, Mommy, I'm wonderful. Daddy told me I was wonderful. You see, what if we did that with our children? The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're wonderful. You know what the word wonderful means? Supernatural. You know what? That's what you are. You are a supernatural being. You're living in a body. You're a spiritual being living in a body. You are wonderful. Don't you like that? Now listen, we need to remind humanity that we are made in God's image and we have been chosen and predestined. And God had a plan and purpose before we were born. God is for us and not against us. Who can be against us if God is for us? Amen? We are in God's plan and in his purpose when we are walking in his will and his ways. Biblical encouragement is premeditated resolve to lift the spirit of another person.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.